Greetings from K9 to Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum. End of message.
Hey, faithless listeners, and welcome to episode 162 of the Diddly Dum podcast, the fourth best Doctor Who podcast out there. I'm Doc.
And I'm Mark.
Right, well, you join us, faithless listeners, all agog with anticipation, as within, 41, 2, as within the space of the next 2 weeks, we will be attending the Capitol Convention. And as per usual, we are doing a pre-Capitol podcast to look forward to it. And we've got someone coming along.
It feels like years since we've done one of these.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, literally years. Now, as you'll be aware, faithless listeners, from our previous podcasts, our little book of fan etiquette requires that a senior member of the Doctor Who Appreciation Society always be greeted in the style of, Mark? Well, I'm glad someone's been paying attention. In the style of Roberta Tovey.
Who's that?
Who's what? Oh, it's our guest, of course. He's quite at home in a convention or the back of a pantomime horse. The DWAS coordinator's Paul Winter, but we simply couldn't afford him. So instead, please welcome a much cheaper guest.
Who?
Tony Jordan. Hi, Tony.
Good evening, boys. How are you? It's been far too long.
Tony, you haven't aged a day.
I tell you, when you see me in 2 or 3 weeks' time, you'll see just how much I have aged.
In fact, when did we attend Capitol 4? Was that 2018, wasn't it?
2019. It was the last weekend of April 2019. And we last spoke at the end of March 2020 after COVID had just hit us and we'd had to postpone the Capitol 5. And here we are, 3 postponements and 2 years later, and we're ready to go.
That's right. Capitol 4 in April 2019, wasn't it?
Yep. The Capitol 5 was meant to be the end of April 2020. And then in the middle of March 2020, we had to postpone it.
Oh, that was it. And then in June 2019, Mark and I bumped into you, the three of you at Avebury, didn't we?
You did.
That's what was confusing me. So we're looking forward to, on the weekend of Saturday 2nd, Sunday 3rd April, the 5th Capitol Convention, Mark and my 4th. Hayden turned up for the first one was the 40th anniversary, wasn't it, of DWAS?
It was indeed, yep.
And we've moved hotels this time, haven't we?
We have, and there's an irony to that. I wasn't happy with how things were going with the Aurora. There'd been changes of staff, and I just felt my biggest fears were realised in terms, and it didn't affect the event at all for attendees who loved it. But behind the scenes, there were issues. So we decided to go to the Crown Plaza, which is just 1 mile north of the Aurora. And there is an irony to this because the Aurora, during the lockdowns, became a quarantine hotel. And it's now a refugee hotel that is closed and won't be opening to the public before July. So if we'd planned to stay there, we'd be in a right pickle. So sometimes things work for you, sometimes they don't. We're hoping, obviously, that the Crown Plaza pull out all the stops, as they've said they will do. Time will tell, of course, but looking forward to a great weekend.
So how's that? That's about a mile from the station, is it?
It is 1 mile north of the station, yeah. Everyone remembers that the Aurora had its own private entrance from one of the platforms at Crawley Station. We can't manage that, but it's a 20-minute walk or a quick cab ride. And if people are driving, it's brilliant because you go on the M23 to Junction 10, you turn right, and it's less than 5 minutes. You go around one roundabout, and then you go around the other, and the hotel's there. It's very, very easy to reach.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, because I'll be driving up again this year.
Yeah, it's funny. It's very different, and yet it feels very similar. The layout is different, but we have similar... The rooms are named the same. The autograph rooms are named the Matrix and Data Bank. The photo studio is still named the Eye of Harmony, but it's about 4 or 5 times bigger, which is fantastic. And the Panopticon, the main suite, if I can say that at the Aurora, it was sort of a portrait layout. At the Crown Plaza, it's a landscape layout.
Ah, yes, I get you.
So it is more spread, but it integrates as well. So I say that it's different and yet it's similar. There's all the same stuff there. And we have our special dedicated room. In 2018, we had the Sharda TARDIS console, you remember? Mm-hmm. In 2019, we had the Asylum of the Daleks. And, of course, we had those lunatic 2 days where we had the Parade of the Daleks and then the lift shafts of the Daleks.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Have a nice day. Exterminate you later. Going
on. Yeah, lift shafts. We couldn't have done that at any other hotel. This year we have the Space Museum, which has some very, totally unique exhibitions in it. So looking forward to that.
So how are things going with the hotel people? It's going okay?
Yep. Recent meetings with the hotel. We had a big exec meeting and I've had lots of action points recently, shall I say. Leave it at that. Of course, we're all volunteers. Of course, we're all doing it for fun. But you have to do it professionally. So you have meetings, you make a note of your action points, and then you start ticking them off. And I've ticked off most of mine now, which is good, but doubtless new ones will arise as we get nearer and nearer.
So as I remember it, it was originally, as COVID started, there were 2 cancellations, wasn't there? There was that Terror and Sticks Day at the Cinema Museum, was it?
Yep, absolutely. We had to cancel that on the Thursday night before the Sunday. If we'd been a week earlier, we could have got that over the line. That is still in hand. The Terrence Day has not been dropped.
Oh, well, goodo.
Plans are afoot. I can't say more than that at the moment. I've been keeping in contact with Elsa for the last 2 years. And
that's Terrence's wife, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that night after I'd cancelled that, and then we had to do refunds for 125 people, which was an administrative nightmare for Paul Winslow. Mm. That night I drafted a strategy for if we had to postpone the capital, and that became reality by the Saturday. And we rescheduled from the April to the October. So that's October 2020. By July, it became obvious we couldn't do that. So we rescheduled then to May 2021. And it seemed to me that, by February 2021, it was obvious we couldn't do that. And then I had to make another call and I thought, let's just push it back to April 2022 because I couldn't face postponing it for yet another time.
Yeah.
So there we are. Now, as we come to the Capital Five, all restrictions have been lifted by the government. And I've just read that it's going to be the end of this week that all restrictions in terms of international travel will be out of the way. We will still be encouraging people to be sensible and providing face masks if they want them. And there'll be hand sanitizer all over the place. And we'll be wiping down tables in the autograph rooms and the stage and the searchlight, just because that's good practice.
Yeah.
One of the things that's disappointed me, and I always used to say this to Mrs. J, when this is over and done with, I really hope that stores and the such like maintain the protocols, the basic protocols of hygiene, but they're letting it slip.
I've already seen on buses now, people just stand on tube carriages. There'll be sometimes that's 2, maybe 3 people, including me wearing a mask.
Yeah, yeah. I think when I go out to supermarkets, I reckon it's down to about 10% of people, myself included, wearing masks. But it's not required, so that's why cases are roaring up again, isn't it? But that's not for this. Yeah. That's not for us to discuss, I suppose.
No. Well, we've been ordered back to our offices, and we're getting emails every day saying another 20 people in this office have just reported a positive test this week, and they're still making us go in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even worse, my daughter is a teacher, and she messaged me earlier today to say that just to top things up, early years and key stage one in her school are not in tomorrow. And let me just quote precisely. Norovirus is closing early years and key stage one tomorrow for a deep clean as a huge outbreak. So just when you think COVID's out of the way, then norovirus comes in. It's going to happen, isn't it? Last month, I think all but one of the children in her class, certainly this term, have had chickenpox. The viruses are still out there and they're going to start coming back. It's like they said, they predicted this winter flu would come back. Well, it hasn't because COVID was still overseeing it. But now COVID is reducing to some extent. Then norovirus, chickenpox, all these other viruses and the common cold are going to make a comeback, aren't they?
Yeah.
Not that that's got anything to do with the capital.
No. Will you be having any sort of distancing measures or anything like that as a result of the recent COVID?
We're going to ask people in particular when they're queuing for autographs if they will distance. And we're going to have a supply of masks available and we're going to say, please, you know, feel free to wear a mask.
Yeah.
But there's no way we can legally enforce it.
Oh, no.
It's not a requirement of the hotel. So people, as this is the government's position, people have to make their own choice.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to say to people, if you've tested positive, please don't come.
Yeah.
I think one of the pluses for us is that this is obviously well air conditioned, but there's plenty of space and air within the Crown Plaza. It's much airier than the Aurora was. You remember that corridor?
Yes. Yeah, that like a sauna that was.
It was. That and corridor. That's why at the Capital Four, we moved the main autograph room across the whole place to the other side.
Yeah.
Just to create space. This was in the days long before COVID. But I remember at the Capital Three, it got really unpleasant because there was no air conditioning in those corridors.
No, that's what I was wondering about.
It is better laid out for that. There is no doubt about that.
Excellent.
How many stories high is the bar?
It's not.
Not a single story bar, please, Tony.
The main bar nowadays is called Bar 92. I remember the Crown Plaza when it was actually a swimming pool.
Oh.
It has a long history, this hotel. At one stage, it was a quality inn. It had been something before that. Then it briefly became a Holiday Inn. And then the franchisees decided to take it to a Crown Plaza. To do that, they had to build an extension at the back, which were club rooms. And on every floor, the club rooms that rush at the furthest part of the hotel, there's probably eight or nine of them. It is a smaller hotel than the Aurora. That had 432 rooms. The Crown Plaza has 294. And it's sold out the Friday and Saturday nights. There's not a room for love nor money. But that's fair enough. We're taking up a huge amount of it, which is good.
And all the bedrooms have been transferred accordingly?
They have all been transferred across on three occasions.
Oh, they have. Oh, that's good then.
I remember the first time we did it, we said to people, please don't call because basically everyone was furloughed. And like all hotels, they furloughed people, then they made quite a lot redundant, including in the meetings and events team.
Mm.
And then when things started picking up again, they suddenly found that those people had found jobs in other industries.
Oh, so it wasn't a case of just saying, I'll come back and the staff are there tomorrow.
No, because they'd laid them off. And the hospitality trade is desperately short, remains short of staff. A pub a few miles from where we live, just outside Lichfield, all last summer and beyond, it's had notice boards up outside saying pizza chef wanted, sous chef wanted, even kitchen assistant wanted. Higher pay, shorter hours. It actually had these on blackboards outside it.
In a way, I think when you were saying to all of us, don't worry, the hotel are just moving all our rooms forward X number of months, I was thinking, oh, that's considerate of them. But in a way, they would love to do that, wouldn't they? Because they're in as much of a pickle as most people.
Absolutely.
They'd love to be able to guarantee they've got a couple of hundred rooms in the future.
And there wasn't a situation on their computer system where they could just tick the box of every person who'd booked and they'd take it forward to an equivalent weekend 6 months ahead. They had to take every single one and do it manually, because there's no way any booking system would have been designed for this. And they've had to do it three times, which is unusually. I've got involved and just made sure that things are right. And we were going through this when I was there a few days ago, making sure that, I mean, it was hard enough, quite frankly, just for, there are two different booking codes, one for attendees and one for guests, which we booked. And it was hard enough to make sure it was right for all our guests, let alone for attendees. But fingers crossed, everything is in hand. We've spent a lot of time on it between us.
So what sort of numbers have you got this year? I've heard a rumour that it's higher than last time. When I say heard a rumour, Tony actually told us when we started recording. It sounds as if Mark and I have got our finger on the pulse, if we put it like that.
Yeah, we have more people attending this year than ever before. The footfall for the weekend will be in the region of 320 people, which is the most we've ever had. What you've got to realise is that obviously with each of the postponements, we offered refunds to people. And in total, we have refunded 58 people over the last 2 years. And despite that, we've had, with the new bookings we've had and whatever, we've still got this, so, you know, 320 people. So it's going to be busy, but not to the point of being horrendous, should I say. When we sold out in January 2020, we were full to bursting, I would say. Now we just have a little bit more space, and I think that's a deliberate decision. But it's still 320 is a lot of people. I reckon it's going to be the biggest non-Comic Con weekend convention in the UK for 15 years or more. In other words, a fan organized event. So there we go. That's what I think. I look forward to someone saying, no, you're wrong. Correct. But I can't think of other events like this where the attendance has been higher. So I'm very happy about that.
So how has the cancellations / reschedulings affected your ability to hold on to guests as well as attendees?
It didn't make a lot of difference for a long time. Basically, yeah, the third postponement was in February last year. So we put it forward to April this year. And in September, I started bringing the event back to life, as it were. I mean, nothing happened from February to September. And I started getting hold of our guests to see if they were still okay. And everyone was, apart from Andrew Ireland, the man who brought us the
Missions to the Unknown.
Exactly. And he said, sadly, it's the one weekend in April he couldn't make. Apart from that, not a problem. Then in January, Hugh Futcher from the Sea Devils, he was cast in a massive national tour of the play Catch Me If You Can, which is starring Patrick Duffy. So he had to pull out, but fair enough. And then in February, we just had loads of withdrawals. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail about most of them because there's confidentiality. People know that Mark Strickson lives in New Zealand, and Mark was hoping to get over in the early spring for a number of reasons, one of which as a byproduct was us, and another of which was to film the long-delayed extras for the Season 20 Blu-ray, including going to Amsterdam. But he was very concerned, even though New Zealand are changing their policies, he's very concerned he couldn't get back home and he has work to do there. So he's not now coming over till the summer. There's all sorts of reasons why these things happen, and very disappointed, but that's how it is. So we've ended up losing 8 of our original list of, I think it was 26 guests. Never known anything like it. Having said that, I think we've announced 10 or 11 new guests, and there's still a couple to come. So we're doing our very best. Obviously, Camille Kadouri, we've signed her up. Never been to a society event before, and that seems to have gone down very well. So we're doing the best we can. It's not the same convention it would have been 2 years ago. It'll be different. But as someone said to me the other day, the key thing is people are going to be so happy to be out at a Doctor Who convention, seeing friends they won't have seen for a long time, and just partaking, that they're going to have a great time. When we had our exec meeting last week, I hadn't seen most of these people for over 2 years in the flesh. In fact, all of them, basically. So it was lovely. It was really, really lovely. We're starting to physically interact again, aren't we?
Yeah.
And that's what this is going to be. A physical interaction where if, say, a guest is not happy to get too close to fans, say, in the photograph studio, then there's ways and means that Robin Pritchard can do that. He did that at Oldbourne last August when they Martin Parsons had his Demons reunion there, 50 years of it. And there were the photos were all taken in St. Michael's Church. And I've got a couple there. And what he did is he put the attendee on a chair at the front and the guests either side, a couple of yards behind or 5 feet behind, which made it that they weren't breathing the same air as I was, say, getting my photo. But you're all in the photo. Does that make sense?
Mm, yeah.
And that's an option. And it's very much, because we have this lovely spacious photo studio this year, it's very much up to the guests to say what they would really like. We're flexible with that. So it should work. It should work. I think the timing is pretty good for all that sort of thing.
Well, looking at your guest list, I think the one thing we can say about the Capitol this year is that it will have lots of pace and energy, because you've just recently confirmed that Graham Harper will be attending, haven't you?
Indeed. Indeed, the legendary Graham Harper. The plan was that we're going to have a season 22 panel to tie in with the Blu-ray release. Now, that's not happening at the moment, but we've got Eric Saywood and we've got Graham. And I'm sure it'll be a really interesting panel. Shame the Blu-ray's not going to be there for people to get it signed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to that. That's what's starting the weekend. And I think it'll be a very entertaining opening. You know what? I've probably told you this before. I first met Graham Harper on the 5th of April, 1985, at the Novotel, where we supped several large famous grouses each. I've known him ever since then. Still lives in Acton, he does. He's bringing his wife, Bernadette.
Excuse me, Tony. Famous grouses. That's no way to refer to the hosts of this podcast. So if Graham's coming, we can expect pace and energy from this year's Capitol, can't we?
Well, you can expect it from Graham. Yeah. I remember that when Graham directed The Case of Androzani, unlike directors, he was down on the studio floor virtually all the time. Directors would normally be up in the gallery. And we all know that Case of Androzani is widely regarded as one of the greatest stories of the classic era, maybe of all time. The previous story, I think, that had been filmed, or maybe the one before that, was The Two Doctors, that was directed by Peter Moffat, an old school director. And that he managed to wrap it so early that they had a day studio they didn't use. And apparently all the technicians working on The Two Doctors adored working with Peter Moffat and hated working with Graham because of his totally hands-on and this, that and the other and handheld shaky cameras and whatever. And they absolutely hated him. But he was actually showing the way forward for television direction. He was way ahead of his time, which is why Russell T. Davis brought him back for New Who. Absolutely no doubt, because just one of the great producers of British television. There you go.
Is Jenny Lindon confirmed yet?
Jenny is not going to be able to confirm until just before the event.
Right.
Which is why it says TBC on our website. But we believe she'll be coming. But we try and be brutally honest about these things. So it's not 100% sure she's coming. Hence, it says TBC. Obviously, we're very disappointed. The biggest, you know, to lose Bernard Cribbins. But
yeah.
It's the way of the world.
But I've said since we first attended the Capitol that you're not going along to see Tennant or a Jodie or anyone. But as we found out when you did that Stephen Berkoff thing, the most unlikely guests.
It is one of my proudest panels I've ever done in decades, because I asked him in advance, is there anything you don't want me to ask you? He said no. He probably thought the first question would be, oh, what was it like appearing with Matt Smith in The Power of Three? Who's the most tragic Shakespearean character? And I have firm opinions on Shakespeare because I studied it. And we went through, and then it just set us off. And I'm so proud of that interview, especially as everyone had said, oh, you're mad to get him. You shouldn't get him.
First of all, who would you say is the most tragic of Shakespeare's characters?
Oh, well, that's very interesting. I think the most tragic probably is Richard II. because he has so many bloody lines to learn.
And I did look at the things that were put on social media after, and people said it was really interesting. And you see, I'd done so much research on Bernard. It was going to be a 45-minute interview that we were looking back at his black and white British comedy movies, his pop career, The Wombles, The Railway Children. I was absolutely up for it and didn't happen.
And Bonnie?
Yeah, Bonnie's coming. She was originally meant to be coming on the Saturday. She was going to conclude proceedings on the Saturday, but something cropped up. But bless her, she's coming on the Sunday. She'll be opening Sunday with Richard Gauntlett and Stephen Wyatt. So it's very much 24 carat. Lovely lady, and very much looking forward to her joining us.
Richard's great. I've seen him in several things on the stage. I've seen him in musicals. I've seen him doing magic acts on the stage.
Yeah, and he's done more pantos than I've had hot dinners. So I'm looking forward to meeting him, because I can't remember if we ever discussed my panto background, Amdram panto.
I was going to say, more impressive than saying hot dinners would be to say that he's done more pantos than you've done pantos.
Yeah. I don't know how, he's done dozens. And I'm told that everyone calls him Dickie, so I shall call him Dickie.
You had to cancel the Terence Dicks Day back in 2020, early 2020. Is there anything Terence Dicks based in the pipeline?
Well, there is, with regards to the Terence celebration. We're trying to finally reschedule it for the autumn. I can't really say any more because that's as far as we've got, but we have a different venue that we are talking to, and okay. Terence's family are very much on board for that. And as you probably know, we've recently announced the Terence Dicks Award for Writers, which I'm absolutely made up about. And the first one of those will be presented on the Sunday afternoon at the Capitol. And Elsa, Terence's wife, and his three sons, Stephen, Jonathan and Oliver, will be joining us for that. So for me, that's one of the highlights of the weekend. Mm.
Hayden's going to feel a right fool for not attending when Mark and I have to go up to accept it for him.
So what's this award for? Can you tell us about it?
Well, it's in memory of the great Terence. Mm-hmm. And the aim is that the award will recognise those whose writing across screen, audio, book and magazine have contributed to and enhanced the worlds of Doctor Who. In other words, we're basically digging into everything that Terence did. And he was basically unique. But across all the things he did, and he's legendary, we're trying to recognise what he did and recognise people of today who may follow in his footsteps, should I say.
I was going to say, is this going to be people who have taken on his legacy, so to speak, rather than people who've already, like some of the older, more established writers? Is this more to acknowledge new writers and new talent?
Not really new, but until the award is presented and you see who's won it, I can't really go into further detail. If you're saying, is it aimed at Russell T. Davis or Stephen Moffat?
Yeah.
Well, I can't.
Right, okay.
Terence, I met Terence so many times from the 80s until 2017 was his last event. Do you remember his last event with us where he came on stage with John Culture?
Oh, his surprise appearance.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And it's available on the Society's YouTube channel in its entirety. And that was just magic.
You know, one of the things I always look forward to in a Doctor Who DVD, for example, is where you have in the DVD extras. You know, Terence Dicks is there, you see. And, you know, <it's> like... and of course, you know, this gives you know, the companion. It's a wonderful way to split up your story, you see. You go that way and I'll go this way. Green, the colour for monsters is green. This seems to be the thing.
Doesn't sound in the least like me.
I think you might be able to hear me go, when Terence walks out, because I didn't know he was there. I started tearing up.
Yeah. You weren't at the first one, were you?
No.
Did a panel at the first Capitol as well. But that was based around the Ultimate Adventure, because we had the late Trevor Martin and then Charlie Hayes, Wendy Pabry's daughter, who played the same role as her in the audio remake of it.
Oh, wow.
So Terence would do anything. I remember probably 12, 13 years ago, we were having events at Riverside Studios and I was interviewing Wendy Papery. And Terrence decided to go and sit in the audience and started asking questions of Padders. And I think I might have said, Terrence, would you like to come down here and run this panel? I mean, there's nothing the man didn't know and hadn't done. And he remains a legend. And this is just a, you know, it's a thing to recognize people who probably don't realize that they've followed in his footsteps. There are quite a lot of people in the wider world of Doctor Who who've done many of the things that Terrence did, probably not to the degree that he did, but just don't realize what they've actually achieved. We drew up a shortlist of five people and it contained all their contributions to the Whoniverse. And these are, some of them are quite immense, quite frankly. I'm not going to say any more.
Hayden was furious when we told him about Terrence turning up in the middle of that John Coleshaw interview. Because if he hadn't been moving house, he would have been conducting the interview on the stage.
Yep. And it was Alan. It was Alan instead of him, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Oh, poor old Hayden. He was absolutely heartbroken.
There you go. Martin Parsons, who's one of my regular team of interviewers, he can't make it this year because he's done a tour of a play with starring Louise Jameson. And it's coming towards the end of the rescheduled tour. So he can't do it. So Louise has been a busy girl, though. What with this and Emmerdale and whatever? She's just turned up on Emmerdale. Well, there's silence for you.
We don't watch ITV in this house.
Always working, Louise. Always working.
She was at the last one, wasn't she?
She was, and she got an outstanding contribution to Doctor Who Award, which she had no idea of. And she was absolutely made off. That's the great thing I love about when we do these awards. They are surprises. And you can see from the reaction of the people receiving them just how amazed they are. And it's lovely. And I think we don't give them out willy-nilly, but I think every single one is deserved.
Yeah, Mark and I were queuing for our autograph in that new room you had across the side of the bar. And all we could think of was just staring, not staring in a bad way, just going, oh, how impossibly glamorous she looks.
She really does absolutely sparkles, doesn't she?
She radiates, yes, totally and utterly. She is gorgeous.
Amazing.
But one of the things I would say about our awards, they're not always for big names who've been in the show, you know, companions and the such like. So at the last event, Alistair Pearson received
one. I was going to say Alistair got one, didn't he?
And at the second Capitol, Nick Briggs got one. And obviously, you know, Nick first got involved with fan productions and doing the Mythmakers and whatever. So it's people, you don't have to be a well-known star who's done this, that and the other on stage or screen or whatever. It's people who've been involved in Doctor Who for a long time whose contribution has really been invaluable. That's what I think anyway. And we'll have to see what happens this year, won't we?
I'll try not to be too embarrassed when I receive it this year.
Okay, Mark.
I'll be there. You won't need to go up on my behalf, Mark.
I have to tell you something. We got the award made for you, and then unfortunately, I noticed there was a slight typo. It said the award goes to John Mark, not Mark John. So I've had to throw it away, and you won't be getting it.
Damn it. Is Katie going to be there again?
Of course she is, Mark. In fact, we were in communication just this afternoon.
Oh.
I've been sending all our guests personal letters detailing their timings and this and that and the other. And bless her, she responded very quickly. She was inevitably on a bus or a train or something or walking down the road. And it was classic Manningham-isms. But I understood what she meant. So, yeah, wouldn't be the capital without Katie, would it?
Well, no, it wouldn't. Which day is she coming on? Do you know?
She's coming on the Saturday.
Right, okie dokie.
And got something I'm really looking forward to planned for her panel. I'm not going to say any more.
Obviously, we recently lost Stuart Bevan, didn't we? And which was very sad. But I have to say, that panel that he did with Katie, I said on a recent podcast, actually, is definitely one of the highlights of the Capitol for me, the Green Death.
Yeah, I'm so delighted that we did that. I'd interviewed Katie and Stuart and Finn Jones back in about 2011, But I was determined to get Katie and Stu together, and that's why we had that special whole wheel banner made. And Karen Davis made that prop maggot that I played with.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
In fact, I'm told that that prop maggot is going to be one of the items at our charity auction this year. It's signed by both Stu and Katie. And that's going to be there. But that, it was a wonderful panel. And again, it went from comical to, you know, very serious, talking about the things that were in the Green Death that way ahead of time, wasn't it? But that's available on the Society YouTube channel as well in its entirety. It's lovely, and desperately miss Stu, but obviously nowhere near as much as Katie. He was a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah, that was one of the things that came through from them, was even when they were sat next to each other in the signing room afterwards, in the autograph room, there's just that decades-long friendship, and the chemistry and warmth between them was just so obvious. It was lovely.
So, it's quite interesting with Katie, because I was looking back at it. I thought, we've done different things every time. The first Capitol was Unit Forever. It was her with John Levine and Richard Franklin, and they reenacted Rank Has Its Privileges, a 45-second scene from Day of the Daleks Part 1 that took 8.5 minutes. And at the second one, it was Katie with Daphne Ashbrook, and we did things like, how many times can you come and hug them or give them a kiss or whatever? Incredible. And then the third one was with Stu back at Old Wheel. And then the fourth one, at her request, we did Iris Wildtime with David Benson, Anthony Townsend, and Paul Mars. So each time it's been different, because if you try to do the same thing every time, it would get very boring. This time, it's just Katie and myself, and I'm not going to say any more.
So what made you think of Richard Gauntlett, by the way?
Karen Davis, one of my colleagues, she works at the Theatre Royal Norwich. He seems to do panto there most years. She works on all the pantos. She suggested him to me. And I said, yes, absolutely. And especially once the 24-carat trailer had come out and he had recreated the role of the Tetrap, then I thought, yeah. And I did actually try and get hold of Edward Peel, because he was in that as well, but didn't get anywhere. So we have Stephen Wyatt, who, as we know, wrote Paradise Towers. So it really is a 24-carat panel.
Edward Russell's been on before, hasn't he? But he's usually quite... he's been genuinely at the centre of things, hasn't he, for a long time, over in Cardiff.
Yeah, and he's one of my team this year. He's a guest, but he's one of the team. And he's going to be extremely busy with panels. Because, in fact, funnily enough, Chris Chapman tweeted the other day, I'm going to be at the Capitol, who else is going to be there? And Edward tweeted back, I'm going to be interviewing you, because we have this lovely panel on the Sunday morning, and it really is a large panel where you've got Chris, works as we know on the Blu-rays, Lee Binding, who for a long time has been doing cover art for Blu-rays and many other things. You've got Richard Latto, who does all sorts of documentaries. And then you've got Gary Russell, who's coming in on the animated side. So you've got this panel, big panel.
Who?
You've got this big panel called Blu-ray and Animated Delights, which I think is going to be great. And where I believe we're going to get to see previously unseen snippets of future releases.
Oh.
Be talking about the technical requirements with Chris. So that should be good. I love those sorts of panels.
Are they involved in the new Blu-ray collections?
Yeah, Chris does loads of it. Apart from the main trailer, Chris does a lot of stuff. And I believe he was responsible for the Terror of the Autons one, for the trailer for season 8. And he certainly filmed the trailer with Katie and Stu for season 10, the one where they were back in Wales on a freezing cold, wet day. So Chris is very busy working on the Blu-rays. So you're looking at it from all sides. You're looking at his work, you're looking at Richard Latto's documentaries, Lee Binding's artwork, and then Gary Russell as producer of 4 or 5 of the animated releases, including the upcoming Abominable Snowmen, which I have to say, like the upcoming season 22, they seem to have gone backwards in their release date.
I've never noticed you having music before at the Capitols, but I understand that this year you've signed the Dave Clark 5, is it? David V. Clark's, and my apologies.
Yeah, I'm in bits and pieces about that joke, Doc.
Oh, oh dear. Oh.
This fan production, Devious, they filmed it in 1995, and planning for it went back before then. And well over a quarter of a century, well, 2019, I think they released the first episode. Then they did episode two. There's five episodes in total. So we're premiering episode three. And then we're having a chat with David and Stephen Cranford just about it. And it's also, this is the production that was set basically between Troughton and Pertwee. And John went along for a day in 1995 and filmed with them. And snippets of him have been seen. But he appears in the final episode, I believe. And we've also got 9 or 10 minutes of footage that's never been seen before of John Pertwee when he wasn't filming, when the camera was just locked onto him. So I think there's a great deal of interest to that, in particular because when the event was originally meant to be 2020, it was 50 years of Pertwee. Obviously, it's 52 years now, but that doesn't diminish the value of seeing this stuff. And I haven't seen any of it yet. They're keeping it closely under wraps. But I think it should be interesting.
I'm also very interested to see you've got Des Skin. He's appeared before, hasn't he?
Is this
his first time at Capitol?
Well, certainly at the Capitol, yeah, and it's brilliant to have Des. So that's thanks to Gareth Kavanagh at Cutaway Comics, who's also responsible for us having Stephen Wyatt. Yeah, and Des is a legend. He started Doctor Who magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolute legend. So I know quite a few people who've said they're really thrilled that he's going to be there.
Yeah, because I've also his House of Horror magazine comics that he used to do, various.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah, but he basically was Marvel UK's main man, and he did loads. He printed so much stuff in the late 70s.
Mm.
His output was amazing, and just some a lot of really iconic stuff from my childhood. So I'm very, very keen to see his panel.
This is the thing. We may have lost some of the big hitters. But I think in some ways, Des Skin is as big a hitter as a companion. In a different aspect of Doctor Who, he's a very, very important name. You know, Doctor Who magazine is now 43 years old. I bought the first ever issue of the weekly, 12p, I think it was. And it's great to have him coming along. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, if you've read any of his other interviews or heard him be interviewed before as well, he's always a great subject. He's very forthright and he doesn't really hold back, does he? He's always very entertaining. So that's definitely going to be one of the must-see panels for me.
I think this is the thing. We're looking at the background to magazines. We're looking at Blu-rays and animated. We've got Eagle Moss there. There's going to be a panel all about the figurines and whatever. And they're must be up to issue over 200 now or whatever. You know, we're covering wide areas of the Doctor Whoniverse. But we've also got people like Bonnie and Camille and Peter Purvis and Carol Ann Ford and whatever, you know, so we've got new, you know, it's new Who and classic Who. So we've got, for example, we've got a panel that's looking at the original, you know, the Christopher Eccleston season. So there's Paul Cornell, Rob Shearman and David Hankinson, who was one of the Dalek operators on Bad Wolf and the Parting of the Ways and continued through series 2, 3 and 4. So I do like to think that we are covering all aspects of Who.
Will you be having the same sort of setup for the traders again?
Yeah, our merchandise area is bigger than ever. I'm really delighted with that. And it's full of people and it works.
Will Eagle Moss have their own table there? Oh, see, that could be problematic for both me and Doc.
In Arcadia, which is the dealer's room, we have Galaxy 4, Sons of Scaro, Time Travel TV, Cutaway Comics, Eagle Moss, Tom's Refurbishments. And if you don't know them, well, you'll see when you're there. And Long Scarf Publications. And Cutaway Comics did the Lytton comic book with Eric Saber. I certainly subscribed to the Kickstarter on that. I remember that's probably 18 months, 2 years ago now. And so it's covering a wide range of stuff. I'm very happy. Very happy with that.
Splendid man, of course, Gareth. Former Emmy non-screens of the Lasso Gallery up in Manchester. One of the people behind the never-to-be-missed Vwarp Vwarp fan magazine on its famous quadrennial publishing schedule and now involved with Cutaway Comics. What I would call a typical mank.
We brought Gareth on board just because we wanted to give him a space.
Yeah.
He's really helped us and I like to think we're helping him. And he's also said they're going to give away 150 free copies of Paradise Towers Issue 2 magazine comic. We're going to announce that before the thing, but...
Oh, that's cunning, isn't it? Because that forces everyone to go and buy one, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, that completely messes with my... Because I hate joining something halfway through. So if I want to read a free copy of the comic, I am going to have to buy issue one. Ah.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, that's very sneaky and underhand of Gareth, isn't it? Typical Mank.
Very shrewd businessman, obviously. What I am happy with, and I'd worked out how the whole convention area would work before COVID, but we basically have one-way systems throughout. There's one way into the Panopticon, way out. There's one way into Arcadia, one way out. There's a way in to the photo studio, a different way out that then takes you to where the autograph rooms are. It's self-contained, but it's not self-contained, which I know sounds like an oxymoron. But basically, the Academy, which is the artists and artisans thing, the Panopticon and Arcadia are in one area, and then you just walk a short way through and you get to the other area, and then the Space Museum, the exhibition, is in a slightly different area, the other side of the main bar.
What's that going to be?
It's an exhibition.
Yes, but is this based on the Space Museum, or is that purely the title you've used for it?
Right. If things go according to plan, outside the Space Museum will be a dead planet Dalek with a sign on a music stand that absolutely replicates the typeface of the thing from episode one of the Space Museum.
Will you have the Hartnell lookalike popping his head up out of it, giggling?
I can't give anything away.
Okay.
The answer is no.
No. Okay.
There was Alec Wheel at the Capital 2. There was the Shard of TARDIS at the Capital 3. There was Asylum of the Daleks at the Capital 4. So we have the Space Museum Dalek outside. We have the JNT photo collection. These are taken from his personal archive. There are 80 of them printed out, never seen before. The Museum of Classic Sci-Fi from up in the Northeast are coming down. They'll have a couple of their exhibitions, their props and whatever else. There's a Clockwork Droid in there, I believe. There are the Anthony Ainley letters, which are a long series of correspondence between, well, you've got the letters from Anthony Ainley from the 1980s into the very beginning of the 1990s to a fan in America.
Oh, I was going to say, not to various organisations demanding money.
No. And then, the coup de grace, the nightmare actually, you have the Tony Jordan archive.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Well, we've publicised it. That's why we're going to publicise it again.
Is this all your solicitor's cease and desist letters that have been sent to the Deadly Dumb podcast over the years, after you've recorded something with us?
They are amongst it. There are lots of photos. There's lots of sort of convention memorabilia and the such like. And then there is a file that has some of the correspondence from when I was a child writing to the BBC in the 1970s and correspondence from when I was coordinator of the society in the mid-1980s and the such like. So there's a letter I sent to Michael Grade and his reply and things like that. That's shut you up, hasn't it?
Talking of the dealer's room... Since Hayden has stopped being able to get to Capital, Mark and I attend each year to buy him something from the dealer's room as a little gift. So the important question of this podcast is, will there be anything cheap there? No, I think we got something, a TARDIS key one year, and that was it, wasn't it?
We got him something the year that he couldn't make it when he was supposed to be interviewing Terence because we felt awful for him. And but since then we've not been so fast.
We've still been less sympathetic since then.
Yes, well, yes, quite.
I would imagine that on their table, the Sons of Skara will have flyers for the Gathering 2, which is on the 9th of October, I believe. So you can get one of those and send it to him, and it wouldn't cost you anything apart from a postage stamp. Over the capitals, or the first three maybe. I've really got people who I loved from the classic era. Without overdoing it. So this year, it's not just classic era. There's a lot of... I genuinely believe we're covering all the bases.
Yes, I'd say so. I can't believe you got Camille Kadoori.
I'm really thrilled to have her.
Yeah, Jackie Tyler's one of my favourites from the new series. I loved her, so yeah, very much looking forward to that.
And she, you know, if you take it to the end of time, she was in 12 stories or something like that.
Mm.
Actually, in the first two series, she was a key part of it, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, massive.
And she was also the second person to ever speak in The Return of Doctor Who. Rose spoke, and then she was the second ever person to say anything.
Going back to what we're talking about, the dealer's room, it'll be quite a first for Capital Audio not to have Christa Kilios in his corner.
Also, is this going to be the first year without Milk?
Yes.
And their table. Have they got no presents there this year? I know Matt's finished with it, hasn't he?
Matt was going to close the shop down.
Yeah.
Someone bought it from him.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're probably taking it in a different direction, but we have no contact as such with them. And Matt has moved away from the Surrey area and lives with his wife and daughter somewhere else nowadays. So he's completely out of it. But it's going to be strange.
So no Andrew Cartmell?
No, although I know him and
pottering around. Andrew, which he always seems to, even when he's not an official guest, he always seems to be there, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. They're still great buddies, I believe.
Yeah.
And when I used to go down to visit the hotel, I would always pop in on the way down or the way back into the Milk Shop in Reigate. So it's been strange not doing that this year.
Oh.
But time moves on, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does indeed.
We're not in the same hotel anymore. You know, things change. I keep saying this. It's different, but it's you'll recognise it. It'll seem familiar.
Yes.
I can't say more than that, really.
And there'll be some surprises to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent.
Can't say more than that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Quite.
Cosplaying.
Yes, we have a cosplay contest that will take place as part of the Saturday Night Entertainment, which is called Crown Imperial. And I took the name for Crown Imperial from a piece of music written by William Walton for the 1936 coronation that's been used other times.
Oh, you culture vulture.
You'll hear a bit of it at the start of the evening. Do you know, so many people turn up nowadays wearing their costumes.
Mm.
And I just thought, we've never had a cosplay competition. So why not do it? So we've got sufficient entries and we're doing it properly. And there'll be a pre-judging after the main proceedings for Saturday have gone on. And then we'll get everyone together and the contest will be part of the Saturday Night Entertainment. And then after the auction, we'll do the results and we've got a panel and all that, you know, to judge it fairly. Yeah, why not? It's been long since been embraced, hasn't it?
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Mark and I are already planning to go as staff from Tranquil Repose, but only so that we won't be embarrassed wearing our medical masks.
I thought you could say we're going to go as the Merker.
When we were going to do the original event in 2020, Leo, my son, had said to me, semi-jokingly, but I think he might have contemplated it, that won't happen now, that he was going to go dressed as a 1980s Doctor Who Appreciation Society coordinator. Which would have been very funny.
Oh, doesn't he look like his dad?
It'll be a bit of fun, I think. That's the thing. It's all about having fun.
Yeah, well, you definitely, I'd say, from my first Capital was the second one.
Yeah, mine too.
And then I'd say over the next couple of years, loads of people turning up in cosplay.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So, but every year we do something different in the evening entertainment. I think in the third one, we had Dominic Glynn doing his concert, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
Last time we had Big Finish there and they were doing a live podcast and whatever. So it's like the event. It's never the same. You try and think of different things and we've had long enough to think about it, but the basic plan hasn't changed. That's the thing. The plans are still very much what they were. And we've had to, where things have changed, where guests haven't been able to make it, we've just had to adapt our plans. But on the whole, this event was planned in 2019.
Yeah, and we still got the traditional Saturday night auction, I presume, as well.
Of course, that's the central piece of it. And there's some great lots coming together, I know. And it's scheduled to run for an hour and three quarters. I think that's long enough, probably. Sometimes maybe we try and run it for too long and due to start at 8:30 on the Saturday night, finish about 10:15. You can never be sure. You know, how long does a charity auction last for? I don't know.
Well, no. It very much can depend on the auctioneer, can't it?
Yeah.
Gary Russell is the auctioneer.
Ah.
So he'll whip him along. I wanted someone who knew what they were talking about, and I can't think of anyone better than Gary.
Right, yeah, he might not be quite as coarse as Kai Owen.
That was the name I just had to remember.
That was amazing.
This hotel?
You're going to have to bleep that out.
No, from what I hear of Gary Russell, Mark, he's far coarser than Kai Owen.
And I tell you what, I still remember that night after the first day, Leo and I went into the pub at the Aurora.
Yeah.
And I was just going to have a winding down pint. And Kai was there. I said, can we sit with you? And two and something hours later, oh, God, it was an absolute mare. But a thing of legend, yeah. Kai did. It's probably just as well it wasn't filmed.
So, chances of surprise guest?
Who know? Do you know, we're still working. 2 weeks out from the event, we're still working on trying to get a couple more guests. If we fail, then we haven't lost anything. If we succeed, then it's a nice surprise, and we might not announce them until the day before or the week before or even on the day. And I'm not promising anything, but our search for guests continues. I can't say more than that. We don't sit on our laurels, and we try and bring as diverse and as interesting a guest list as possible.
So, capital aside, how are things going with Dwas these days, just generally?
We're busy. Yeah, it's busy. I mean, if you look on the publications front, obviously CT still goes out, 10 CTs a year as real magazines go out to members. Cosmic Mask, there's two or three copies of them, fan fiction and the such like, that are released as PDFs annually. There's the wonderful TARDIS magazine that Robbie Dunlop has brought back to life and is absolutely magnificent, high quality, and fingers crossed the next edition will be ready to be released at the Capitol. And then every year there's the CT annual now, which is released on New Year's Day and then comes out as a genuine annual. The latest one, Matt Smith, I reviewed two stories in that. So we're very busy publications wise. There's merchandise sometimes. There was the 40th anniversary coin. No, sorry. 45th anniversary coin that was released last year. And we're very active, or reasonably active anyhow, not compared to some people, but on social media, Facebook, Twitter. Robbie Dunlop has developed the Instagram page wonderfully. So yeah, there's a lot going on, and it's good. 46 years, still appreciating Doctor Who on the whole.
I was just thinking, this is going to be my first capital where I've given up smoking. And one of the joys I found, I'm going to have to get fake cigarettes.
There'll be so fewer guests we get to meet now.
Because it's a nice way of meeting people, other attendees and some of the guests.
What, outside having a fag?
Yeah, yeah.
But Mark, first of all, as Doc says, you'll be able to watch a lot more of what's going on. And secondly, you must be so much better off financially by not smoking. If I hadn't given up, I wouldn't be here now. I don't think you're ever 100% given up, even after 31 years. But the great news is the temptation is so minimal nowadays, because you can't smoke indoors and haven't been able to for 15 years at a pub or a restaurant. They're all hidden behind screens. The price is ridiculous. So it's much, much easier. And I know that when I gave up, I think about 35% of people smoked. And nowadays they reckon it's between 15 and 17%.
But there is that camaraderie of the smokers outside that I will miss.
Right. Well, we shall look forward to seeing you and Leo at Capitol in a few weeks' time, Tony.
I will be so glad that we have the event. As I said earlier, I think everyone just wants to do it. It's a communal thing, and it will be great. And I look forward to seeing you guys as well, because it's going to be nearly 3 years, isn't it? So
yeah.
I suppose there's a momentum to these things, isn't there? And you've told us before how almost on the next day after Capitol ends, you're already starting. So there must be a momentum to these things. And if you had to say, let's just not do it this year then, because of COVID, then let's do it some other year. then you can guarantee it probably would never have got done in the first at all, would it?
No. And the thing is that when you do the weekend, you need to just push forward to get another one going. And then once it's underway, you can put it to bed for a little while, certainly during the summer months, you know, July and August, maybe an occasional announcement, but otherwise just let it run it run itself. But we came back live with the Capitol on the 2nd of October last year, deliberately done six months before the first day. And it's been very, very hard work, but we're getting there. It took me 2 months to work out everything I used to do. You just forget, what was this? What was that? It really did, because you just went into a different world. You went into a world where you weren't doing anything at all, were you? Sitting at home in the garden, thankfully, in that first spring where it was mild.
Garden? Mostly.
All right. Okay.
I wish.
I used to go for power walks in the park just to get out for the day.
How are things up in Staffordshire?
We love life here. Absolutely love it. We're right on the edge of Cannock Chase, which is the smallest area of nat beauty in the country. If I go to the top of our road and turn left beyond the park, there's a field with cows in it.
Cannock Chase is a sort of hump, isn't it, on the skyline as you go past on the train?
Yes. And it used to be a massive mining area, so they're so proud of their heritage. The local football team, Heath Hayes Football Club, which we go and watch semi-regularly, as well as Hensford Town, their ground is called the Coppice Colliery Ground because there was a colliery there. There were collieries all around us. And they're very proud of their heritage. There's a huge amount of statues and this and that, some of them subtle to the history. And it wasn't until the early 1990s that mining actually finished here. But we love it. There's so much lovely countryside and just a different pace of life.
Staffordshire, it tends to be one of those counties that you forget, I think. Obviously, unless you've got family living there.
Yeah, it's only got a population of about a million or thereabouts. And it's one of those sort of that goes quite a long way north. You go to Stoke-on-Trent and Newcastle-under-Lyme, and then suddenly you're in Cheshire before you know it. And there's nine different districts. We're in Cannock Chase District. There's Lichfield District, South Staffordshire, Staffordshire Moorlands, East Staffordshire, Stoke-on-Trent. It's not a big county.
The potteries are, in a way, they're more famous in the county, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And people don't think of it as a mining county because they think of the potteries. But I absolutely love it. And when we lived in Greenford, it was 2 miles on the bus to the Greenford tube station. And then that would take you about 35 minutes into the heart of London in the on the central line. Here, we're 2 miles from Cannock Station on the bus. And it's 35 to 40 minutes on the train to Birmingham New Street. Not that we've been doing that, but those are the facts. So it's not very different, really.
I think Mark and I are almost slightly blasé about it now. But I think we still remember, don't we, Mark, that first Capitol we went to. Because I always used to say, you never catch me at a convention. I don't want to stand to go around with a lot of people who are like me. I know me. I don't want to be like me. But it was just a revelation to us. And when Mark got home afterwards, he had friends and family saying to him, have you been on holiday? Do you remember that, Mark?
Yes. Yeah, I do. It was great. I mean, a large part of that was probably Katie Manning. That when we heard her in the next door corridor, through the door, like talking, go, oh, that sounds like Katie Manning. And suddenly the door opens and she happens.
She is a force of nature, isn't she?
I always remember that was fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it anyway. I have nothing but happy memories of all the past capitals.
It's always preconceptions, misconceptions people have about an event like ours.
Yeah, it's always got a lovely atmosphere. I don't find it a particularly cliquey event. I mean, I guess I'm lucky in that I go with Doc otherwise.
Well, that's the point. If I didn't have Hayden and or Mark to go with, I probably wouldn't go.
No.
Because I'd feel, I mean, even if I wouldn't be doing the podcast, if I didn't have it with them. But I'm the sort of person who at parties stands in a corner pretending to be looking at my text messages because I'm just too shy to.
I can be like that as well, though. I know people don't believe this, but I'm not naturally the most gregarious person in the world. And you wouldn't believe that, would you?
No!
I am by nature not a gregarious person.
So you're saying that if you hadn't been spending 36 months arranging it, you probably wouldn't go yourself.
Bollocks. It's 163 miles, and that's using the toll road for the quickest route to get down there, you know? Bloody hell. It used to be 50 miles from Greenford. Now it's 163, so it's a fair old trek.
Mm. One of my biggest regrets from first capital that I did, capital number two, was I didn't understand what the situation was with the dealer's room and the last panel. And I went in through the dealer's room, and I spent a lot of the weekend talking to Chris Achilios, and I'd been looking through his work, and I'd been working out which couple of prints I wanted to get. And I was like, I'll get those on the way out, and went into the panel. And obviously I came out. What I didn't realise was that during the last panel, everybody packs up.
Yeah.
And I missed the opportunity then to buy my signed Chris Achilios print. I just went thinking, ah, nuts.
I think I've got two or three that he signed for me, each as a thank you for giving him the opportunity to sell them.
Mm.
I remember at that second one that John Culshaw spent quite a bit of time there and got two or three signed prints signed by him.
Well, you live and learn. If I want to buy something now, I buy it when I see it rather than waiting for the end of the capital.
You've got a nice selection of, Gary Glover's there with his models, but the Stuart Manning's there, Sophie Isles, Colin Howard, Graham Way.
Oh, Colin's back. How is Colin?
He's got this new super duper £10,000 wheelchair.
Got that, did they? Because I know they were crowdfunding for it. So I did put some money in towards that. So. Hurrah.
Lee Sullivan's there.
Mm.
And Alistair Pearson will be selling his.
Okie dokie. Give our love to the family.
Yes. Will do. Nice and to I'll chat see... to you, Tony.
And you guys. And I see you in 2.5 weeks or just over then.
Hey.
We'll be the ones in the tranquil repose outfits. Right.
I look forward to them. That would be hilarious. You should go up to Graham Harper and say, can we have an interview, please, Graham?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to get your thinking head on. Bagsy, can I be Jenny Thomasin?
Oh, who's this coming down the corridor? Why, what a coincidence. It's the Sons of Skaro. Dalek Scaros, do you have any advice for us before we set off for the capital?
Emergency regulations. Please do not dump bodies into the river.
Dalek Ray, we have enemy ships in Sector 27.
It's a trap!
Bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. See you soon.
You have been listening to the Diddly Dumb Podcast. Find us on our blog at diddlydumbpodcast.wordpress.com, on iTunes, Facebook, Audioboo, and Stitcher.com at diddlydumb, on Twitter at diddly_dumb, or email us at diddlydumbpodcast@yahoo.co.uk.
Diddly Dumb is liquid podcasting. Stick it in your ear, old sunshine.